In preparation for this particular event, I was asked to prepare this topic called Lessons Learned Through Counseling Experience. And this is a first-time session, and apparently they thought I have enough gray hairs that maybe I could talk about what I've learned over the years. And as I worked on this, it was a very good thing for me, and maybe you would want to take this topic and think about it for yourself, you know, what you've learned in your years of counseling experience. In reviewing my own life, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I didn't realize I was this old, but I've been getting paid to do counseling and ministry for 34 years. I started when I was in the sixth grade. And over the years, I've done a few thousand hours of biblical counseling, and it was a blessing to my own heart to reflect on these things. And as I look across the crowd, I see that there are numerous veteran counselors, NAINC certified counselors, and several of the other teachers who will be presenting this week, and any number of people in this room could present this subject, but I'm thankful I get to. Let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll start, all right? Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege that brings us together this week. We thank you for Faith Baptist Church and their vision for helping people to become equipped to use your word to minister to hurting people. Thank you for how our lives have been benefited so much through this church and its ministry. And now, Lord, as we have our lead-off session for this week, I pray you'd help me to honor Christ, honor your word, as we think together about some of the things that you've taught me over the years. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, lessons learned through counseling experience. One lesson that I've learned is that God and his word are powerful when you aren't. Hebrews 4:12 is still in the Bible. The word of God is quick or alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it's able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The more I have counseled, the more I have come to revel in being a biblical counselor. And as I have been reminded over the years, just time and time and time again, when from my perspective, I thought I mishandled the agenda, I wasn't connecting with the people, I felt weak, inadequate, I didn't know how to answer their questions, but I did my best to minister the word of God, and God used that word, which can go where I can't go on my best day, to change people's lives in the inner man. My seeing that is what led me years ago to adopt a personal policy that I would encourage you to consider, and that is that whenever I'm doing formal counseling, I open my Bible and I set it right in front of me, have my notes where I can take notes, and I cannot look at my counselees without seeing the scriptures in my peripheral vision. And that is a reminder for me for two things. Number one, the answers that are going to change their lives aren't coming from you, and that just encourages me to minister the scriptures. And sometimes when we're getting to know people and they tell us these horrendous stories and they pile this huge mound of problems on our desk and you find yourself sitting there thinking, good night, you know, what am I going to do with all this? Then seeing the scriptures reminds me, I'm not going to do much with it. God's going to do something with it. So I would have just appreciated more and more the power of God and his word. A second lesson that I've learned is that the hard cases are the ones you grow on. And I want to encourage you as a biblical counselor to resist the default response of most Christians when somebody talks to them about problems in their life. The default response when somebody says, my husband left me, my wife is depressed, our kid got kicked out of school this last week or something. The default response of most Christians is, have you told the pastor? And what I'm trying to encourage people to do across the United States is if somebody tells you that, then just maybe the sovereign God of the universe wants you to be the one to help them. And they may talk to you about things that you've never worked on before, but it's the hard cases that you grow on. In fact, I can still remember as a young pastor years ago when a member of my church, where I was pastoring in Fort Wayne, Indiana, confided in me, sitting in my office, and told me that for years he had lived a homosexual lifestyle. He had broken out of it, but he was still wrestling with temptation, and he wanted my help in overcoming temptation to homosexual sin. Up until that point, to my knowledge, I had never had a conversation with a homosexual. And I sat there without the foggiest idea of what to do to help that guy. But I gave him some general direction and so forth. But I can tell you this, literally, his car was not out of the parking lot until I was pulling Jay Adams' Christian Counselor's Manual off of my shelf and figuring out, I got to get this one figured out. And 1 week later, motivated by my love for that man and the humility that he manifested and that he wanted to be different, and he's asking me in my confidence that the Word of God has answered. I don't know where they are, but I'll tell you, 1 week later, I knew how to help him. I mean, I had more to learn, but I mean, that week, my love for that man motivated study of the Scriptures and study of the books. And it's the hard cases, folks, that you grow on. I remember the first time I had a woman weeping uncontrollably in front of me with depression. And what I would talk to her about the Scriptures, I mean, just like water off of a duck's back. I mean, I just couldn't get on base to help her. My concern, my determination that she did not have to turn to drugs to get help motivated me to study the Scriptures and study my books and call pastor friends and ask, what do you do in a case like this? Or the first time I had an angry man sitting across the table from me whose anger cost him several jobs in the past and is about ready to cost him his second or third wife, whichever it was, how that motivated me to do some serious study to figure out how do you help somebody who's dealing with anger. And I urge you, when a sovereign God brings hard cases across your path, resist the default tendency to refer and defer to somebody else, but instead tackle it yourself. The hard cases are the ones you grow on. Number three, I've learned that you will never hurt someone when you compassionately point them toward Jesus Christ and obeying His Word. One of the tendencies sometimes, particularly for beginning biblical counselors, is to move in on some of those hard cases, is we're afraid we're going to mess them up. Well, think about it from a couple of different perspectives. And this is track six. I mean, all of you have had some kind of a lot of training to be in this track. Many of you have got hundreds or thousands of hours of experience. When a case is one that you think is hard, they're so messed up already that it's going to be hard for you to do anything to really hurt them. I just want to give you some hope, and I want to give hope to beginning biblical counselors if you compassionately minister to them. I mean, do you realize that today, I mean, for those of us who've been Christians, we have forgotten, those of us who've been Christians for a period of time, we have forgotten what it's like to not have anybody to talk to that cares about you. I mean, many of the people that come to see us, I mean, there is not anybody else in their life that would sit down week after week and spend 1 hour with them, compassionately ministering to them and caring with them and praying with them about their problems. And I just want to say to you that you cannot hurt somebody when you compassionately show interest in their life and you point them toward Jesus Christ, and you point them toward obeying His Word. Remember Christ's words, Matthew 11:28-30? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you believe that? Well, then, if you believe that, you will not hurt somebody. Now, you may not solve their problems as quickly, or you may not be used of God to solve their problems as quickly as a more veteran counselor who has more insight into particular problems and so forth that they have. But you will not hurt them. I've also learned, number four, that an accusation hardens the will, a question pricks the conscience. The tendency that I have is when people tell me things is to respond by making a statement. For example, when a man told me about having an angry exchange with his boss at work, and the guy in his anger and self-righteousness quit his job, and he's already knew, but the family was in financial difficulty, and this has happened before, and the guy did that, my tendency is to say, well, that was really smart, wasn't it? Well, when you do that kind of thing, the response is somewhat predictable. All right? What I'd like you to think about is this. Sometimes with whatever is in your heart, what you find yourself wanting to say just as initial response to somebody, take that same thought and just turn it around and put it in the form of a question. An accusation hardens the will. A question pricks the conscience. So you end up saying, when a guy tells you that kind of story, you'd say, now, from the perspective of